constant stream from heaven tonight. Amen.
Am I on? Can you hear myself? Okay. Lots of notes. Slightly panicked that I have too many. I've titled this, You've Got Talent, which I know is very cheesy, but it was the kind of spin on Britain's Got Talent, and it made me smile, so I'll stick with it. Say a little bit about me and how this has been relating to me and what God's been saying. I think throughout my whole life I've always struggled with the fear of failure and being a disappointment to those around me. My friends, my family, church, bosses at work, the whole lot. It's been a constant theme really throughout my life. And these fears were strengthened in my life when life circumstances got hard and choices I made resulted in heartache and disappointment. As a result of this, I've often chosen to work in jobs or serve God in roles that were really below my ability. And I would shy away from responsibility, often hiding in the kitchen or just not really being out in the open. And when the opportunity arose, I would shy away from it really because I just had made that assumption that I would fail at it and I just wouldn't be able to manage it. However, I've always known in my heart, and I've wrestled with that, knowing that God has blessed me, and he's blessed me with unique gifts and abilities, and that I could do so much more for him. So on to the parable. The parable, when it speaks about the talents, they're about gold. And it was saying that really that was like speaking of investment at the time. A talent was a large amount of money. There's lots of different variations of what people say that amount was worth. Some say it was about several thousand pounds of what we would have today. Some even say that one talent was worth about 20 years' wages. So that's a massive amount of difference, but it basically was a large amount of money. And I've taken that idea of that talent into really what we would think today as a talent, into your gifts and your abilities. And sometimes they're natural abilities that you've got, sometimes they're God-given. And the God-given ones would be just a supernatural part, like a supernatural gift that God has given you, that may be something you didn't have before you were a Christian, or something that you didn't recognise that was there. And that kind of raised the question with me, that I knew that it was a challenge to see what are my gifts, what has God given me, or what am I doing about them? So the master left, and he went on a very long journey, and he trusted his servants, leaving them the full responsibility of the different amounts of money that he'd given them, and wanted them to invest it. And the whole point of him giving them the money was that they would invest it, that they would increase it, and that's kind of the faith and the belief that he had within them. So leaving each person, that's still a massive amount of money. If you think that today, you know, maybe at school or maybe at work, if you're given a huge responsibility and your manager goes off, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to just panic and think, oh, I don't know what to do, I don't really do anything? Or will you give it a go? Or it's just those things, and it's also that idea of, what do you do when nobody's looking? What do you do when nobody's there to check up on you and say, have you done that? Have you done your studying? Have you done your... You mean, it's about that kind of inner drive that we're not... You're responsible for ourselves. We're responsible for those abilities that God's given us. We shouldn't always have to have somebody to kind of point it out. And it's like recognising the gifts that you've got and stepping up. Which is... I'm not necessarily... This is a talent for me speaking. I'm not really sure about that. But... that for me, that's a stepping up, which Chris recognised and said, you need to talk about this. I'm like, oh, I'm okay. yeah, and I think it's us taking that personal responsibility, because I think sometimes at school or at work, people are there and they will point out to you. But do we recognise it in ourselves and take those opportunities that God gives us? And so it talks about the servants. And in the Amplified Bible in verse 16, it says about the servant that got five talents in that verse and in that translation, it says he went at once and traded them. So immediately, without a second thought, he was like, right, I'm off, I'm gonna invest this, I'm gonna trade it. And it's thinking, where I know that I've been so held back, and it's maybe taken me ages to actually get there and do something. But actually his willingness to serve God was immediately, right, I've got this, I'm gonna do something with it, I'm not gonna let the boss down. And then again, I went to the Amplified, I love the Amplified Bible. And it says that, I'll just read the scripture from there, and it says, verse 21, and it's repeated in verse 23. So this is what the master says when he comes back, and he's speaking to the servant that had 5 talents, and he got 5 talents more, and the servant had 2 talents and got 2 talents more. And it says, his master said to him, well done, you upright, honourable, admirable, and faithful servant. You have been faithful and trustworthy over a little. I will put you in charge of much. Enter into and share the joy, the delight, and the blessedness which your master enjoys. Both the servant that received that increased 5 talents and the 2 talents, he said exactly the same. Oops, sorry. He said exactly the same thing. It wasn't like, oh well, you've only just done 2, just did 2. He was like happy. You've doubled what you've been given, and I don't think. Sometimes we weigh up, oh, well, they've got better skills with me, and they can play the guitar, and they can do this, and they can do that. And we put ourselves down. But actually, that's not how God sees it. God sees, are you using what I've given you? Are you making the most of what I've given you? I suppose it's just recognizing that God will be pleased with you if you're measuring yourself up to what he wants for you. Don't measure yourself and don't compare yourself up to everybody else. I've always done that in my life. And you'll always find somebody that's better than you, more talented than you, has different skills that you admire. There will always be that, but it's learning to appreciate what God's given you and recognising that. And then on to the third servant. Poor guy gets called a wicked servant. In verse 24, that's verse 24 to 30, he gives excuses. I think a lot of those excuses were fear, because he didn't increase it, he just hid it in the ground. And I think that I related to that, because I thought, yeah, I've always been afraid. I've been afraid to fail, so I haven't done anything. And I've hidden it away. And I think that's true. I know definitely for me, it was just that fear of life and having life to its fullness, that kind of was something that would worry me, because I think, oh, I promise I can't handle it. I wouldn't know what to do with it. Even though you'd want it and you know it's something really, really good. And I think, you know, for this guy, and also I think for myself, I've been paralysed with the anxiety of it when I've had opportunities and I've just held back. It's just almost like you just pretty much disable yourself, so you're not actually physically able to do it. And then I also thought about, actually, sometimes, is it because we've got the wrong image of God in our heads? Is it because we think that if we get it wrong, he's going to tell us off? And if we get it wrong, he's going to really chastise us and really come down on us hard? And I think that's definitely one thing that I've always struggled with. I've kind of always seen God as that guy up there, and it's like crumbs. He's got the stick, and he's ready to wallop you if you get it wrong. And that, sadly, is just because of a difficult start in life that I had with my dad. And it's taken a long time to kind of unravel all that. But it's the complete opposite of what God actually is. God is there every day, every minute of every day, willing you on, willing you to succeed, willing you to be the best that you can be for him. Deciding what to fit in and what not to fit in. Sorry. Oh yeah, there was a really scary bit actually. Oh, I thought it was quite scary. Verse 26, the master rebukes that servant and he said, you wicked, lazy servant. And he talks about casting him into outer darkness, which is pretty frightening. And I don't think that's really hell, but I think it's God removing the talent that he's given you and removing the opportunities for service, and giving it to those who are being faithful around you, so you won't gain his praise and you won't gain his reward. And that's pretty much hell, I think, to know that you've wasted what you've been given, and you're not going to be given another chance. And I don't think God is a God of second chances, but I think this is just a warning there to not take for granted what you've been given. Not take for granted that you'll always have that gift, you'll always have that ability, you'll always have that skill, you'll always have an opportunity to use it. And it came to me, the scripture in James 4, verse 17, and it says, "If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's sin for them." And that's pretty much what I thought really for that servant, is that actually he had the opportunity to do some good. He had the opportunity. For that one, yes, it was investing money and bringing money back. But ultimately, doing good is, I suppose, when you see, I don't know, somebody struggling in the street and you go and help them, or when you see a need at work, or see a need in other people, and you've got the time that you can actually devote to that, and you're able to help them, go and do it. Don't walk past and think, oh, somebody else will do it. It's like the whole Good Samaritan thing. Oh, they all thought, oh, yeah, I don't want to, don't fancy that, and walked on. And that's just us missing the point, and that's just us. I don't know, maybe sometimes it's like, oh, well, I'm above that, or I couldn't do that, or, oh, I'll really mess up at it, or I won't know what to say. And we put so many excuses in the way, and I think we just miss the point of what God is doing. And you just think of all the opportunities that God's given you and all the chances that he's given you to bless you and to encourage you, and you just think, we've got to pass it on. You know, what's the point in life if you don't make a difference to anybody else? That's kind of something that has come back to me time and time again. There's no point in my life if I don't actually bless somebody else, if I don't make a difference to somebody else, if I can't return what God's given to me and return the favours and all the amazing things that people have invested into me, time and prayer and love and support and so many different things. And if I can't give it back, what's the point? It's just always something that's kind of stuck with me. And then more scriptures kept coming. So Romans 8:14, it says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you into slaves, so that again you're living again in fear, but rather the Spirit that you received brought you into adoption of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." And that's God's heart always. God's heart is always that he sees you as his child, not just, oh, you're children of God. He sees you as his child, as his precious son, as his precious daughter. He always wants you to succeed. He always wants you to try your hardest. He's like that kind of, I don't know, dad on the side of the football pitch going, go on, go on. He's always got that. He's always willing you in every way and giving you every encouragement and every opportunity. And there's times when I've really, really struggled, and total random strangers on a plane, on a bus, just coming, you know, and just in conversation, and they've said something that has totally struck my heart, and it was exactly what I needed to hear at that moment in time, exactly when I just was really struggling, and I felt that I couldn't get breath, I couldn't, you know, I was so clutched by fear and so struggling that I couldn't, you know, feeling it hard to breathe, and just literally he would send some random person just to say something that totally lifted and changed that situation. And you see, that's God's heart. No matter what you're going through, he will constantly be there. You will never go through anything that you can't survive and that you can't thrive with. And the song that was played at the start, that was about thriving, and that's something that also God's been striking with me as well, because I know different situations. I've survived through lots of things and had a difficult life in a way, but I've never really thrived. And I think now is the time where it's like, right, I'm going to step up and I want to thrive. And I want to be what God wants me to be. And I want to be, I think, strong in him, really. I've never seen myself as a strong person, but actually I can through God's strength. You mean, and the things that I see that are good in my life is only because God's put them there. It's only because he's believed in me enough and never given up on me. And he's kept on encouraging me along the way to think, okay, now I've got that chance where I think I actually could do things for him. I could I could maybe do that, or I could maybe speak at a full service, or I could, you know, those things. It's like, yeah, it's like, I think God, he doesn't give up on you. And I think that's absolutely incredible, and it's a knowledge that you should always have, that, yeah, things, we don't always get things right and we mess things up, but he's never going to give up on you. Now, worryingly, I've got 2 more pages. Try and cut my words down. I haven't looked at the time at all. I've no idea what time I started. Okay. One thing, which is a bit odd to say, but I think it's true, is that the different servants were given different talents, which might seem unfair. And I think it's true in life. Not all of us have been given the same. And you'll always get people, and they can just do everything. And, I mean, you really want to like them, but it's quite hard to, because they're just so good at everything. I mean, and I think there will always be people like that. There will always be people that have got more gifts than you, or maybe other people that have got less gifts than you. And that doesn't mean that you're better or worse. It just doesn't equate. God doesn't see it in that way. I mean, if your parents, don't think, oh, well, this is the talented one, and this one, oh, well, oh, dear. You know, God doesn't think that. He doesn't have that in it. It just doesn't register. He's given you the right thing for you, and he's given you the right quantity that's right for you, and he will give you the opportunities to double it, to multiply it. And I think it's hard when you struggle with confidence and you're not sure, it's hard not to compare yourself to other people. I've done that constantly throughout my life. It really doesn't get you very far. It just kind of gets you depressed. But it's realising, okay, what's God given me? And really be honest about it. Not what people might have said, oh, you're really good at this, you're really good at that, or whatever. Really think about it and think, what do I love? What do I love and what am I good at? And I think God will give you something that you enjoy. He will give you something that you can thrive at. That, yes, okay, it might be hard, yes, okay, it might be scary or different things, but you'll still get a joy in it. And it's trusting that when you're serving God, you've got a joy in it, because that's the joy that gives you the strength. So then I think you've hit the nail on the head. If you find something that you find makes you joyful and makes you strong, then I think you find what you're good at. And I think that we need to encourage each other. Doesn't matter, you know, some people do look like they've got it all together and they're amazing and everything, but they need encouragement too, and you need encouragement, and it's working together as a team and not comparing yourself to that other person and not envying maybe that they're better at this or they get to do more public things or whatever it is. It's knowing that we're actually a team and we are a family and that we all connect together and we all have different gifts to give, and each of those gifts are necessary. And each of those gifts are necessary for the whole package. And the whole package is the point that we come together as a family and we do stuff like Hope 2014, that we go out. I mean, that we use those skills and that we're brave and that we go out and actually speak to people and that we witness to them and we make a difference in their lives. Just as God has given us life and hope and a future, we need to inspire other people and give that to them as well. And that's the whole point of church. I mean, there's no point in just being all nicey nice. So the whole point is that we make a difference, yes, to each other, but to the people outside, the people that are on your street, the people that you meet at work, the people that you meet on the train or on the bus, the people that you meet at school, the people that you randomly bump into in Tesco, wherever it is, that's where you need to make the difference. That's where you use those skills. That's where you develop those skills. And yes, it can be scary, but it's worth it. So, lots of challenges. Think about what God's given you. Think about the unique gifts that he's given you and your abilities. And are you using them? Are you using them to the potential that you can? Are there opportunities that you see that are there that you know that you could do? Say, you mean, we've got a really amazing opportunity within church to actually try those things out. Nobody's going to come down on you like a ton of bricks. They're going to give you a chance. So I might totally mess this up tonight, but I know that I'll still get a feedback that's positive and that will help me move on and that will help me grow. And yeah, I just think it's lovely because not all of us have a supportive family. Not all of us have somewhere where we can be, where we can learn and grow and not be condemned. And I think this is a perfect opportunity. And just say, put your hand up at work and at school, the whole lot. I mean, it's saying, okay, I think I can do this. Do you want to give me the chance? I mean, I'm putting yourself out there. Not everybody's going to come, and it's not going to arrive on your doorstep. Okay. Getting to the end. So, I'll do my utmost not to get all sad and cry. I've popped in a bit more about my testimony, and I'll just read it. It's 20 years ago this year since I was taken. Since I was taken with my sisters from a very abusive home and was placed within a loving foster family. They challenged me to believe that I was talented and that I could achieve good things in life and be a success. And I know that I've purposely held back using my gifts because I believed that I would fail, and I prefer not to face that pain and the fear of being rejected and not loved. However, I realise that's just a fear and it's not a reality. It's taken me a long time to unravel all the webs of lies of being unworthy and being a failure that I believe from my past. But praise God, he's been so patient with me and so loving. He's healed me from every fear and hurtful memory. And he's continuing to do that. I always think the workman's sign of work in progress. Always. I just think they should be on my back. And God's really placed a true joy in my heart. And a true joy of being really believing that I'm a child of God, really believing that I'm adopted into his family, really knowing that no matter what happens in life, I will always be his child, that he will always be there for me no matter what. Yeah, and that's pretty much it, really. I think it's just that challenge is there for me, and this is so me in the middle of this. I've so not sorted it and I've so not kind of mastered it yet. But it's knowing that the challenge is there and that I need to be brave to take that challenge. And hopefully you guys will too. Hopefully there'll be something in that, something in God's word that you'll be able to say, yeah, okay, I can do this. This is what God's given me. I want to make the most of it. I'm going to pray. If you want to close your eyes. And I always see prayer as a process, particularly if it's something that I've been challenged with. And I'll read it as it would be for me. Dear God, I repent of despising the gifts that you've given me and living in fear of failure, and not using the opportunities that you've given me. Lord, I pray that you will release us all from the spirit of fear and past regrets and failures. And Lord, we just pray for a fresh realization of who you are and that you've made us and what gifts and abilities that you've given us. And Lord, we just pray for a fresh anointing of your spirit, for boldness, Lord, that we will be bold to serve you. And dear God, we just thank you so much for your blessings and blessing us with your unique gifts and talents, and for the opportunities to use them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Judith.